Thank you, Bill. Pure in heart. Our theme passage talks about that. Talks about our thinking. That's where our Bible hearts are, is right here. And this that's where we need to be pure if we plan to live with God forever in heaven. It will only be purity there. And it's a powerful song. Thank you, Brother Bill, for the song service. You have undoubtedly noticed Brother Stanley is away this morning. He's in Needles helping the brethren there, and we will study and worship together today and talk about a few things, and hopefully it'll be beneficial to you. We'll go ahead and do the reflective moment that Stanley usually does from Philippians 3, 13, 14. Let's repeat after me. Brethren. I count myself I count not myself to have apprehended it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus. I think that's a good passage for the beginning of the new year, and we are planning to move into a new theme. I'm not going to start it this morning. I'll let Stanley start that next week, and it will be from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 20. And we'll be talking about being ambassadors for Christ at some length, I think, over the next few weeks. And this morning I will kind of loosely stick with this, meaning that this will be one of the passages that I use in my lesson. But I'm not entirely sure that, I guess in a loose kind of way, it all fits together. You know, there's hardly anything you can preach about in the Bible that you can't tie a scripture to if that's your aim. But I wanted to talk about something that's been on my mind and perhaps on some of your minds as well, or maybe it hasn't been on your mind specifically, but maybe you've been experienced, and that is the emotion of fear, overcoming fear. Now, some of you may not think you're afraid, and maybe you're not, but you have been. Everyone has been, and probably will be again if the Lord grants you life. I'm going to read a passage that we're familiar with, the 23rd Psalm, as I like it, and it mentions fear. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Life's cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will fear no evil. Those are bold words, aren't they? And the fact is that in my lifetime, I've had fear. And sometimes I've feared evil. And this passage teaches us that if we are God's, we need not live that way. In our minds this morning, I'd like for us to think and go to the Mount of Olives. And we're going to join Jesus there in the garden as he's with his apostles. And we're familiar with the scene. And we know that the Mount of Olives was a favorite place of our Lord. It was a place where he went to pray often. But as we study it today, I'd like for you to entertain the idea that at this moment, this garden was a place of fear for Jesus. You know, I once saw, maybe you've seen the same kind of thing, I once saw a picture, an image that someone had drawn or painted, I'm not sure which, of Jesus. And he was depicted in this garden. And it was a very serene scene. He was kneeling calmly beside a rock, and his hands were folded, and his eyes and face were peacefully pointed toward heaven. Now, as I looked at this, I thought either this artist isn't much of a Bible student, or he just chose to disregard what the Bible has to say about the scene. You know, I'm not sure which. But Mark says that Jesus fell to the ground, face down. Matthew tells us that Jesus was very sad in this garden, that he was troubled to the point of death. And Luke says Jesus was filled with pain. And so picture Jesus face down in the dirt in the garden, his arms extended in misery and pain, his face in the dirt. Our Savior, Jesus, was experiencing fear. Now, I know a lot of you think, well, Jesus was never afraid. Well, you know, my Bible tells me that Jesus experienced every emotion that I experience. And this particular tender scene in the garden is, I'm so happy that this is here. I can identify with Jesus here. Now, I understand his fear didn't last. He didn't allow his fear to overcome him, that he overcame his fear. But nonetheless, at this moment, Jesus is struggling. So much so that he says he's near death. And he asks God for a change in his divine plans. For the first time, Jesus is experiencing at least some difficulty aligning his personal desires with what God has in store for him. And Jesus is afraid. And there have been discussion after discussion about what Jesus was afraid of. And I don't think it was one thing, but I think there was one thing that dominated his fears. For the first time, Jesus was about to be separated from his eternal Father in heaven. For the very first time. Throughout eternity, Jesus has been with his Father. And even through his life on this earth, as he went about his ministry and accomplishing what God sent him to do, even as he went through this, he was in tune, he was in line, he was with his Father, they were together. He said, if you see the Father, you see me. If you see me, they're one, they're all together. And God gave him his Spirit to help him through these times as a human being as he walked on this earth. But now he faces death. I don't think it's the death he fears. He believes God. He has faith that God will do what God says he will do, that he will be raised. But when he takes on the sin of the world, your sin and my sin, and the sin of mankind and everyone's sin, when he becomes sin and is nailed to the cross, sin separates people from God. And our Lord will, for the first time, be separated from his Father. I think he was afraid of that. He didn't want that to happen. I know he was miserable about that. And all of us have been there when it comes to pain of fear, haven't we? Yes. We know the emotion called fear. Like Jesus, fear prompts us to pray sometimes. Sometimes that's the only time people will pray is when they're afraid. That's a sad state to be in, but sometimes it's true. You know, when I get on an airplane, I confess, when that plane takes off, I pray. And you know what? When it's coming in for the landing, I pray too. Now, I'm not terrified, but I think I'm afraid, don't you? I think that's fear. I don't think it's inappropriate. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. When people stand before an audience to speak, they have fear. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So I pray before I speak, invariably. It helps me. We're afraid. All of us are afraid. You know, when you've been dismissed from a good paying job, yeah, I've experienced that too. I pray to God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where our income's going to come from. I don't know how we're going to pay bills, you know. I pray to God, and I will confess, I worry too much, or in the past, worried too much about those things. And I'll tell you for sure, I've been here too, and some many of you have. You lay on your back on a gurney as they're pushing you down the hall towards the operating room. You see the lights passing. Oh, yeah, I pray. Am I afraid? Yeah, I am. Should I be afraid? Probably not, but I am afraid. I'm a human being. Now, Jesus wouldn't be afraid, I don't think, of those things, but he was afraid, he experienced. Fear also is not restricted to age. It really isn't. Children, little children are afraid. And sometimes we need to acknowledge that and be with them and comfort them because we think their fear is silly. Well, it's not silly. It's real to them. The things that they worry about, because you're an adult, you don't think them to be important, but they're important to little children. Adolescents, teenagers, you know, they fear rejection. They need us. Not to make fun of them, tell them that they're worrying about nothing. We need to comfort them, acknowledge their fear. Young adults fear failure in life, fear that things aren't going to work out, fear they won't find a mate. Fear that they won't be able to be happy. And those of age, I like that phrase, those of age, it sounds better than old people, doesn't it? But anyway, I thought I'd use that because that's kind of where I'd be classified, I think. And some, now some, not, this doesn't mean all, everybody, but some people fear death. Some people are terrified of death. But you know, more people, I think, fear living a life and at the end of it, thinking that it had no meaning. Living a life with no meaning. A life without purpose. Now, my purpose in this lesson is not to learn how to stay out of this garden of fear. That's kind of useless. You know, I can't tell you how to stay out of it because you're going to be in it. At some time or another, you have been in it. And if you keep living, you're going to be there again. But what I want us to learn, my purpose is to learn how to prepare our hearts again, right? Prepare our hearts for that garden experience of fear. For the moment when we do arrive there, we have to prepare. We have to be ready for it. Let's use our imaginations for a moment. Imagine that you're at a ball game. I say ball game because that's where I would be if I'm having a good time, right? Watching a baseball game. And as you're watching the game, a friend comes and slides in next to you. And he tells you there's been an accident, that your children and your wife have been rushed to two different hospitals. One emergency vehicle has gone to a burn unit and another to a trauma center. Fear sets in. Doesn't it? Wouldn't it? We can identify with this, can't we? We're afraid for what might occur. We fear knowing what has occurred and not knowing all the details. And so we, you know, our heart races and we cry out to God that he would erase the last few minutes. Have you been at that point? Just take it away, God. This didn't happen. God's not going to do that. He didn't do it for Jesus, his son. He didn't erase it. He's not going to do it for you. It's a fear that makes us physically sick to our stomachs. You know, sometimes our bodies move in convulsions as we sob and we cry because we're afraid of what's going to come to be. We can't control it. You see, life is hard sometimes. There's no pause button. You know, you push that, say, wait a minute, let me catch my breath here. Life doesn't have that. And there's certainly no erase button. And you know what? You can't push the fast forward button either. And I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you? My life would be a lot shorter if I could fast forward. Because there's a whole lot of things that I go through that I would just push that button. What a waste, isn't it? Even our experiences that we don't go through have value. God has a purpose for even those. I'm so glad that God is smarter than me. You know, there's a fact that we need to understand that those who live godly lives will suffer. Whether you live a godly life or you don't, you're going to suffer. But those who live a godly life are not immune to that. So how can we learn to face our fears? Point number one, we must be willing to confront our fears honestly. You know, as I live, I am coming to realize that we lie to ourselves all the time. We don't admit the truths to ourselves. I'm not afraid. I've never been afraid of anybody or anything in my life. I'm not afraid of anybody, right? Are you telling the truth? Who are you trying to convince? Be honest. Amen. Let me give you four false ideas about fear. Ideas that we need to toss, get rid of. Four lies about fears that people tell. Now, number one lie. If we think that we can live such a good life that we can escape ever having to go to our garden of fear, our garden of Gethsemane, we're kidding ourselves. Satan has fooled us. And make no mistake, he's behind this. Satan has fooled us in a bad way. We will join Jesus in this garden. How are we going to deal with it? Not just once, many times through our lives. So don't you think we need to learn what to do when it occurs? You know, living life more perfectly is so obviously not the answer. You're not having a problem necessarily because you've done something wrong and that you need to live better. That might be true, but even if you do what's right, you're going to have fear. You're going to have these problems. If that were not the case, Jesus wouldn't have been there. His life was perfect, and he still had to face this, didn't he? Yeah. And so will we. Now, number two, and this one is hard, because not all fears are real. Now, I recognize if you have it, it's real to you, right? And you can't just dismiss it. If you're afraid, you're afraid. But what I'm getting at, you know, some people have defined it with a acronym, false evidence appearing to be real. And it's so true, you know, and statistics, I understand, have proven this over and over again, that the vast majority of things we fear of something coming to be and never does. Well, that's wasted time, isn't it? That's fear that we need not have. It's fear, yes, it's real because you're causing it to happen to yourself, but it's not based in reality. Don't waste your time there. There are enough things that are going to come up that are real that we have to face. You know, is the thing that you're facing, is it real? Or is there something you're imagining? In the mind's eye, the false fears can seem more real sometimes than anything else that's around us. So we must deal with them honestly. Number three, lie that we tell ourselves. Some advise us just to be patient. And I like this, because patience is a virtue. Just be patient. But what they're saying is just wait, okay? Now there's a time to wait. You wait on God, right? But what they're really saying is don't do anything. What? Just wait for it to pass. It'll all get better. Something's going to happen. One day it'll vanish and it'll just go away. Well, let me tell you something. Fear ain't going anywhere by itself. It got there with the help of Satan. And when he's got you in that place, he's a roaring lion. He wants to keep you there. He's got you where he wants you. Don't just wait and do nothing. That's what Satan wants, to do nothing. Then he's got you. And you know what'll happen? He'll keep stalking us until our fears destroy us, until they cause us to lose our faith in God. Have you seen it happen? Have you experienced it yourself? Or until our faith overcomes our fear. That's the answer, isn't it? We've got to have our faith increased. We've got to go to God. Number four lie. We got to know. You got to understand that like Jonah, you can't run away from your fear. Some have tried it. Things are good. It's getting hot here, right? I need to go somewhere else. Too much going on here. Too much happening. Everything. I need to, you know what? You know where your fear is? And if you go somewhere else, you know where your fear is going to be? The same place, right? You're taking it with you. You can't run away from your fear. You just can't. We must acknowledge them, face them, deal with them honestly and truthfully. Only then can we begin to seek help. Don't deny it. You say, well, it's silly for me to be afraid. Perhaps, but you still are. Denying it won't make it change. We've got to acknowledge where we really are. Now, the second point in the lesson, we must take our fears to God. Reality, maybe that's the first point. Start with God. We must understand that He's the only one that can help us. We must cast our fears upon Him. You know, I used to think that I would handle the things that come my way on my own when I could. But when I knew that I couldn't handle them, then I would go to God and call on Him to help me. But I've come to realize, you know what? I can never handle them. I think I can sometimes. I think I'm doing okay, but it's just an illusion. I always need to go to God. The little fears, the little problems, yeah, because they grow into big ones. I can't handle anything. I need God for everything in my life. Like Jesus, we must cry out to God. Lift our voices to Him. Proverbs 18, Solomon says, 18 and 10. Solomon says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Psalms 34, 15, David says, I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Jesus took his fears to the Father. He did. He prayed to God about these things. And you remember what God did? He sent angels to minister to him. God sent Jesus help. And you know, if we pray to him, he'll send us help too in overcoming our fears. The church prayed for Peter's release from jail. Remember that? And you know, there was a miraculous release. He was released. Paul took his thorn in the flesh. We talked about this morning. Paul took his thorn in the flesh to God. And you say, well, now wait a minute. He didn't take it away. But he gave Paul the grace to handle it. See? I don't know why he didn't take it away, but in God's wisdom, he thought Paul should have that. But he gave him the grace to deal with it. And that's what we need to understand. When we pray to God to help us with our fears and with our lives, he may not take away the thing that we want him to take away, but he'll give us his grace to deal with it. And we can deal with it. So we just have our faith in him. Church, we'll never be delivered from our fears until we acknowledge them, we confess them, we bring them to God, asking for his help. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious in anything. Anxiousness is a form of fear, isn't it? Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now listen, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God. Now, point number three, we must cling to God's word. And I like that word, cling. Grab a hold of the truth. Grab a hold of Jesus. He is the truth, right? And the light. Grab a hold and don't let go. Cling to Him. Cling to the Word. To His promise of deliverance. That's what keeps us going. Knowing that He'll deliver us. No matter what we're going through, we'll get through us. God will deliver us. Cling to it. It's going to be okay. In the dark moments, when fear stalks us and begins to whisper in our ear irrational thoughts, then God's word can become a light that we can see by. You know, it can become a light that brings the peace. See, I think that when I think of fear and I think of peace, they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Sometimes what we have is the fear. What we want is the peace of God. Listen to these scriptures. Psalms 119, 130. The unfolding of your words give light. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and what? A light for my path. Your word shows me the way. It's a light. You know, the Bible is not a weapon. I know there's an analogy in which we can use it as a weapon, but not in this sense. The Bible is not a weapon that we use to bang the heads of other people in an effort to convince them of our beliefs. That's not what the Bible is. The Bible's a light. We need to give people light. Amen. Show them the way. Through the Bible, not bang them in the heads with it. That'll never save anybody. The promise is that His truth will set us free. Free from sin. Free from eternal death. Free from the law of sin and death. And free from fear. Tired of being afraid of everybody and everything. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118:6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Did you hear that? What can men do to you? Nothing. So, well, they can kill me. It's nothing. It's nothing. They can take your physical life, but they can't take your eternal life. They can do nothing if you have faith in God. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is always kept safe. Trust in the Lord. Like David, you can pull out from your bag, your arsenal, or whatever, you can pull out five smooth stones, and you can slay the giant named fear. Amen. You can do it. Amen. In Psalm 112, verse 7, David says, we will have no fear of bad news. That's kind of appropriate today, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm just picturing myself because, you know, you turn on the internet and you go to a news site. And sometimes I go to that site and I think I'm afraid already before I even look at what I'm afraid of. What's coming next? What's going to happen? Right? But David says, we will have no fear of bad news when we place our trust in the Lord. I'm guilty. Point number four, fear fails in the presence of right thinking and doing. When Satan finds an empty heart, he laughs, he smiles, he's pleased. An empty heart, he comes to fill it. He can fill it. He'll fill it with evil. All the evil he can muster. so that things become worse than they've ever been. In Philippians 4, verse 8. We're back to our passage, huh? Our text, our theme. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Now listen, listen real closely here. The God of peace will be with you. When you have the God of peace with you, there's just not any room for fear. Paul says if you will fill your heart with good thoughts, then fear will be replaced with peace. Peace. That's what I want. Is that what you want? You want to live in peace? Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with the world, if you will. Peace is not only found, though, in the right thinking, and you can't have peace without it. It's got to start there. But peace is also found, and it completes it, really, in right doing, in the way that we behave. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You listening to this? Fear drives love from your heart. People don't behave the same when they're afraid. They do things they wouldn't otherwise do, and they say things they wouldn't otherwise do, and they strike out and they do harm, and that's because the love is going away. Practice it. Practice loving God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. Practice it. And loving your neighbor as yourself. It leaves no room for irrational fear, because love casts out fear. You know, we're created to do good deeds. Some people say, well, what am I here for? That's it. You're here to do good deeds. You're here to do good works. That's why we're still here. If you're still here, God has something for you to do. And that's why you're still here. Paul says, God has saved us to do good works. Works that he predestined that we should do. God, from the beginning, has an outline. He has works, good works, planned for you to do. He won't make you do them, but it's his plan for you to do them. And you must choose whether you're going to do it or not. But at the same time, you're making the choice of fear or peace. You're just making the choice of which way that you want to go. Now, I know some people, maybe you've met some people too, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid to get out of bed in the morning. Yeah, you meet people like that? That's no way to live. And, you know, just they don't want to do anything for fear something's going to happen. They got the blues because they're afraid. And you know why? This is what I think, and maybe I've observed, and maybe you think so too. The reason they fear is because they don't do anything. They do nothing. Let me encourage you now. If you're having trouble with fear, find something to do in the kingdom of God and go to work. He has plans for you. There's nothing that will do away with fear more quickly than filling our mind with good thoughts. Losing ourselves in love and service to others. Filling our time with good deeds and good works. Fear's going to go bye-bye. Now, one more point before we stop. We need to share our fears with others. And when I say that, I don't mean give them the fear that you have. Yeah. I mean share the fact that you're afraid. We hide it. We hide that we're afraid. Because sometimes we know it's irrational and it's silly, right? Don't do that. Other people are not going to think it irrational or silly. In fact, they might have the same fear. We need to share with one another what we're afraid of. They're in the garden that night. Remember what Jesus did? He asked the apostles to be with him, to pray with him. Now, never mind, they failed him, all right? And sometimes people will fail us, but not all the time. Sometimes you call on a brother because you're afraid and they're going to comfort you. They're going to help you. And I can't help but think, now Jesus was God, and Jesus got through this without his apostles to help him, because he was Jesus. He was able to do that. But I can't help but think it would have eased Jesus' mind that night if his apostles had been right there with him, understanding his fear, praying with him. And don't you think that would have helped him? He still would have gone through what he did, but he would have done it with the people that should have been there for him. You see, we're a community, aren't we? We're family. We're brothers and sisters. We're here to bear one another's burdens, to help one another. We're to contribute to the needs of the saint. We're to pray for one another. Scripture tells us that group prayers, prayers of people together, are more effective than a single prayer. James 5:16 says, call the elders. Remember that? Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a godly person is both powerful and effective. Tells me we need to be godly, right? We want our prayers to be effective. The prayer of a righteous person makes things happen. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. We hide too much from one another. Can't help if we don't know what's needed. Okay, question. Are fears ruling your life? Are fears ruining your life? I suppose the greatest fear of all mankind has to do with where we will spend our eternity. And we talked about this just recently. The idea of being afraid to go to hell. And we discussed the fact that it does, to some degree, motivate some people. That's the one thing that I observe. You won't find anybody ever that says they want to go to hell, even if they don't believe in it, right? Even people who don't believe in God, well, if there is a hell, I don't want to go there. Nobody wants to go there, right? That's not the problem. That will motivate us for a while. But you know what? The problem is we don't find enough people who want to go to heaven. You see? I don't want to go to hell, but maybe I don't want to go to heaven. You understand? Because going to heaven requires something of me. And I don't believe in hell. I don't want to go there if there is one, but I don't believe it. But, you know, I don't really want to go to heaven because I don't want to do what it takes. You know, we have fear, don't we, in our lives about eternity, but that need not be. That fear is erasable. God, through his Son, has the eraser called Jesus that can erase our sins away from us. He can take them away. We can become a child of God by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior by faith and through a changed life and being born again in New Testament baptism. Amen. I want to go to heaven, and I recognize that God has prepared good works for me to do. He's prepared things for me to do in his kingdom. And if I really want to go to heaven, I'll do them. I'll do them. Perhaps as a Christian, we need some help with our fears and overcoming them. The elders are here. The church is here. We're willing to join and praying with you and for you. If you have needs that we can help you with, I would encourage you with all of my heart to come forward and let those needs be known as we stand and sing together.